fighter. Oh, bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. That's the flower of the partisan fighter who died for freedom's sake. One fine morning, I was awakened. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. One fine morning, I was awakened. One fine, the fascists all around. Antifa.
Okay, so this is Chris, Peace and Justice Program, and the reason I played Bella Ciao and why I will be playing Bella Ciao today is because in Iran, the women and children in the streets are singing their version of Bella Ciao, and I just think it's time to resurrect that song, you know, especially after the elections in Italy. And we'll talk more about it, but in the moment, I just need to catch my breath and welcome our first guest. This is a pledge drive show, so please call us at 895-0131. Pledge your support. We have wonderful women here from Catalyst. And they are standing by to take your pledges. Or if you're a pretty private person, you can go on the website and just donate at kzfr.org. So my guest is, let me turn this up, is Lincoln Rice. He is the coordinator for the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee, fondly known as NUTRIC. Hang on. One sec. And NUTRIC has been around since 40 years. He has been involved with them since 2018. He's been the coordinator. He became a war tax resister shortly after joining the Casa Maria Catholic Worker Community in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in 1998. He received his Bachelor of Arts degree in 1999 in accounting from University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and a PhD in Christian Ethics in 2013 from Marquette University. He has published books on Catholic worker social theory and racial justice. As NUTRIC's coordinator, he stays in touch with war tax resisters throughout the U.S., edits the bi-monthly newsletter, and stays abreast of technical information that affects people involved in the civil disobedience action of refusing to pay federal taxes. Lincoln lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and goes birding in his free time, which I hope he has plenty of. Lincoln, welcome to the Peace and Justice Program.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and I'm proud to be a war tax resister. I'm grateful not to be paying into the war machine right now, and especially as things have become so perilous, and so much of our money is being redirected to war and preparations for more war. And anyway, I want to thank you for all the help over the years, and I wanted to have you tell our listeners who may not have heard you on Peace and Justice before about the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee. How did it start first?
Sure. Yes, this is our 40th anniversary, so about 40 years ago. There are a number of people involved with a few different groups, including War Resisters League, that each of them were involved in promoting and sharing resources on war tax resistance. This is during the Vietnam War had ended, but we see things gearing up in Central America under Reagan, and the arms race is continuing. And these folks thought, a lot of us are copying each other's efforts, and it would be helpful if there was one group just solely dedicated to this on a national level. And there were also, at that point, dozens and dozens of local groups, and there still are many local groups around the country, but we're kind of a clearinghouse for information and resources when it comes to war tax resistance and those who want to resist all of those federal monies that go towards propping up the military and promoting militarism around the world.
Yeah, and, you know, the newsletter that just came out actually made me cry because there's this one photograph especially about how we stand on the shoulders of giants, and it has pictures of these elders who stood up through such difficult times, against war and against conscription. And isn't war tax resistance similar to conscription in a way? Can you draw that analogy?
Yeah, I think the thought, many war tax resistors who kind of were around for the founding of NUTRIC, many of the men who were a part of the founding of NUTRIC were people that were draft resistors to the Vietnam War during the late 60s and early 70s. And now that that was over and the draft was over, but the wars continued, said, well, I might not be in a situation where I'm going to be drafted to fight anymore, but I find myself in a situation where I'm being asked to pay for others to kill on my behalf. And similarly with many of the women who are part of the war tax resistance movement, and when NUTRIC was founded in the 80s, many of them had been war tax resistors going back to Vietnam when they saw brothers and friends being drafted and thought, you know, I might not be able to be drafted, but I'm paying for it. So there really is a deep and close connection between war tax resistance and the draft resistance movement of the Vietnam era.
And does the whole thing revolve around conscience and our relationship to our material things? I always think that, you know, the discernment that was necessary to become a war tax resistor was very, very difficult and remained difficult for years. Can you just talk about even an example of someone and what they've done and how they've done it?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think for war tax resistance is one of those things where it's very much tailored to every individual and their situation. And, you know, there is the legal form where folks have decided to live a more simple life, which often might go along with their desire for leaving less of a carbon footprint on the planet. But for those that make over the taxable income limit, which is about $13,000 for a single individual and $26,000 for a married couple, it is more of a process where individuals or couples have had to discern, what are we comfortable with? Do we want to redirect all of our owed taxes to groups that we feel are more life-giving? For some that have been less comfortable, they might just resist a more symbolic amount, perhaps not, you know, especially after 9/11 with all the invasions associated with that, by United States Armed Forces, many folks were resisting $9.11, but others might resist half or a few hundred dollars, something that they feel the what could happen to them, which isn't much right now anyways, but it lowers the possibilities of what could happen at the hands of the IRS, but still allows them to voice their protest.
Well, Lincoln Rice, I would really love it if you would let people be part of the celebration of this 40 years. Can you tell us how people might be able to participate in hearing more and being part of this incredible history?
Yeah, so for folks that would like to join us, we're having a 40th anniversary gathering that's going to be on Zoom. To find out information about the conference or to register, if you just Google War Tax Resistance, the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee, or NUTRIC, as we often call it, will be the first thing that shows up if you Google War Tax Resistance. And on that page, it's we have our conference prominently displayed to click on. And it begins the weekend of Friday, November 4th. We're going to have people sharing stories that have been a part of NUTRIC the last 40 years. And to kick off that Friday evening, we're actually going to have folk singer Charlie King join us and start us off with a few songs. But the whole weekend will be a good opportunity, if folks weren't familiar or interested in learning more, to hear stories of people who've been doing this for sometimes like 1 or 2 years or for 40 or more years.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful, and I really appreciate being able to attend that. It used to be people would get together, and now everything's on Zoom, but at least that means we don't have to travel. It's good. Lincoln Rice, I I asked you on to promote the 40th anniversary of National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee, but I'd also wanted to ask you about community radio. You're in Milwaukee, I take it, and I was, or are you? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Do you have a community radio station?
Yes. I have spoken on the local community radio station, though now I know it's River West something. I must admit I don't remember the whole name.
Well, at any rate, I don't know if you're a listener, but why would you support community radio? Why do you think shows like this one, the Peace and Justice Program, are important?
I mean, you actually get to hear from regular people. You get to hear local news. I might not be local, but you're a local person, and I'm sure many of the folks that you have on are more local. And so I know our local radio station, it's a way to hear of what people are doing on the local level when it comes to dealing with racism and dealing with housing issues and dealing with food prices and, you know, just hearing and connecting with folks in local groups is the main reason I listen to community radio.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a lot going on in your state also, Michigan, and I really appreciate your time today. Can you tell us how people who are interested in war tax resistance could find, well, you've already mentioned the website, NewTrick, I think, but not the actual, how to what's on that website, perhaps, and next steps?
Sure, so our website, you know, we have many generous supporters that help us make this website available, and all of our resources are available for free. If someone would prefer to have us send them printed material, we're really just charging for cost. But otherwise, everything is available for free, our newsletter. If someone has a wage job, so, you know, for instance, you're working a wage job. When you first started working there, you filled out a W-4 form, which tells your employer how much to remove and give to the IRS in advance. And whether you want to think about, do I want to keep doing that? Or perhaps if you get a refund, that means you're just giving the federal government a free loan all year. You know, so if you go to our website and just under the search function, look for W-4, you'll find our resources about how to adjust your W-4. If you're in a relationship, if you're married and that partner might be less interested, or there are some talking points you want to discuss, we have resources on relationships. Really, almost with 40 years of experience, we have a vast amount of resources on any topic or question you could think of.
Thank you so much for being my guest today, and I will see you on November 4th on a Zoom call. Thank you so much, Lincoln Rice, for your work with National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee and with all of us around the country.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, this is Pledge Drive, 895-0131. KZFR needs the new equipment. You've heard it. We have over 50 volunteers using this old board, and it gets a lot of use, nonstop use, all day long, all night long, just about. So please help us replace this equipment. And 895-0131, two wonderful women from Catalyst are out there waiting for your call, and they would appreciate hearing from you now. And I would appreciate also having the assistance. I'm going to set a pledge goal of $800 on this show. And thank you to everybody who's already pledged. You're off the hook unless you want to give more. And I wanted to go back to my Bella Ciao thing here. Bella Ciao was an Italian partisan song during World War II, when the people were standing up against fascism. And so I'm going to play you the original right now. From the archives of the Italian partisan song Bella Ciao. Oops.
Oh, bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Stamattina mi sono alzato e ho trovato l'invaso. Oh, partigiano, portami via. Oh, bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 partigiano, portami via.
che mi sento di morire. E se io muoio da partigiano, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. E se muoio da partigiano, tu mi devi seppellire. E seppellire lassù in montagna, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Seppellire lassù in montagna, sotto l'ombra di un bel fior.
Ah, that beautiful flower. There's a lot to say about nonviolence, and this is a song about the people who were struggling with armaments. And I have on the line with me someone who might be able to address that. It's Jack Cohen-Joppa. He is the Jack and his wife Felice have edited and published the Nuclear Resistor Newsletter, a comprehensive chronicle of anti-nuclear and anti-war civil disobedience and peace prison support. For over 42 years, they have just published their 200th issue. The Nuclear Resistor Newsletter and now also their website and social media have reported on over 100,000 such arrests and encouraged letter writing support for more than 1,000 jailed and imprisoned activists, visiting some of them in at least 8 states, the District of Columbia Jail, Vancouver. In 2020, Jack and Felice received the International Nuclear Free Future Award in the category of education. Welcome to Jack Cohen-Joppa. Hi.
Hi, Chris. Thanks. I was singing along with Bella Chow.
I know. I had so much fun this week putting together that I have 6 versions of Bella Chow to play today if I can keep it together to do it.
Wow, that's great. If I had the Tucson Labor Corps version, I'd send it to you, but we were only around for a few years.
oh my goodness. This is an issue, maybe it wasn't one we were going to address, but when you hear about the struggles of people through time and about, you know, our efforts to have a nonviolent world and to resist oppression and nuclear weapons and militarism and all the things that are destroying the planet, you know, what are your thoughts with that?
Well, when I see and hear these stories, it inspires me to continue as an activist. Because early on, I recognized that action for social justice was a long historical continuum. And there are many fronts that people struggle for social justice. And I could be a part of that because others were showing examples of how they were involved. And so I just had to find what fit for me. And since that realization that, yes, I have a place in history to add to human progress, then every time I see other people doing that or hear about other people also engaged, I know that I'm not alone. And so that's what I think about when I look at that sweep.
Yeah, and it's such a grand sweep. I think my last guest really articulated that about you know, how far these struggles go back and how many people have been involved. But the Nuclear Resistor is your chronicle of hope. And your last edition, September 10th, talked about a lot of different actions, especially around the world, which is, you know, you're not just covering the United States. You cover all nuclear resistors everywhere. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about the nuclear abolitionist blockade of the U.S. mission and what happened there in 1982.
Oh, okay, sure. during last summer, there was the... Are we still on board here?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, I just hear a little beep in the background. Maybe somebody else wants to call me on this line, but they're not going to. Last summer, there was the annual... month-long Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty Review Conference that's held nominally every 5 years at the United Nations. But the United States has been, you know, principal in leading all of the nuclear nations and the umbrella states under the nuclear umbrella, like in NATO, leading all of them to stall progress on the principal objective of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which in Article 6 is the complete disarmament of these weapons of mass destruction. And so in opposition to that U.S. recalcitrance, a number of activists came together this summer for a sit-in in front of the U.S. mission during the opening days of the Treaty Review Conference in New York City. And this sort of nonviolent direct action, symbolic blockades of significant sites, has been part of the movement for a nuclear-free future for decades. And so they were continuing a long tradition and saying, we are not here to be forgotten about. Although COVID has really taken a toll on the frequency in which folks engage in this sort of direct action, it's out there as a tactic and it is still being employed.
But I want to read from part of this is that 40 years ago, 1 million people marched and milled in New York City demanding an end to nuclear weapons and nuclear war, and 1,700 people were arrested during acts of nonviolent civil disobedience outside of this same U.S. mission. So I just hope that people will rise up in time. That's all I...
Yeah, and this is one of the things that we've observed, having the privilege of chronicling this movement for 42 years, is today, although there are not so many people engaged in direct action on the, say, nuclear front or against the current wars, that's probably because there's a number of clear, life-threatening existential issues that face humanity and that face communities in the United States that take the attention of, you know, those of us of an activist mind who recognize, like I was saying, that we do have a place in history to contribute, you know, to human progress. And, you know, when police are, you know, constantly shooting people in your own community, or when you look at the weather outside and realize it's a significant indicator of the climate that's changing in a chaotic manner, these things motivate people to direct action, and they have. So I've seen that happen, too. So even though we don't have the numbers, say, in the movements that we're currently chronicling, that's not to say they won't be there in the future. I cannot imagine what would happen if nuclear weapons were used, even just one, without a retaliatory strike in the present conflagration in Eastern Europe. I mean, I know whoever would drop a bomb in that context, I know that I would be out on the streets immediately, saying no, you know, no retaliation or no first use, whatever it was in the case of NATO. It would cause global havoc in civil society,
right,
as well as, you know, the military implications.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have so little time. Jack Cohen Joppa, I wanted to say that you're going to have a celebration in December of this 200th, all the work that has gone into these 200 editions of the Nuclear Resistor. Do you want to do a quick invite and how people can find the Nuclear Resistor online?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. Our website is nukeresistor.org, or you can even go nuclearresistor.org. It will bring you there. And at the top of the page, you'll see an ad for our December 3rd. That's the first Saturday of December. We're going to have a Zoom online celebration. It's going to be probably an hour or 90 minutes long, a celebration of 200 issues and 42 years of the Nuclear Resistor. We'll have photos, stories, songs, and more, kind of a quick overview of all of the movement's history over these 42 years and how it is that, you know, Felice and I, you know, came to be able to chronicle it in the way that we have, because there'd be nothing for us to do if there weren't the activists out there on the street doing it and chipping in to help us continue this publication and this service of support for people in prison.
An incredible life work. I so appreciate the two of you. I really do. And I have to pivot here and ask you, because it's pledge drive and we really need folks to call 895-0131, why do you support, you're in Tucson, do you support community radio?
Well, I really know the value of community radio because when we moved to Tucson 36 years ago, there was a baby station. It was only less than 5 years old, KXCI Community Radio 91.3, and I am a member, and I listen to it because KXCI brings me great music, but it also brings me really informative, locally produced programs about the people, the animals, the plants, the geography, the beauty of where I live and work in Tucson and in southern Arizona, that I wouldn't get this perspective. And I wouldn't have these insights about all the other people doing amazing things, you know, culturally and politically and for each other, if I didn't have community radio to listen to. I'd be stuck with just the commercial or the, NPR. And NPR, their local coverage just doesn't have the soul and the depth that community radio gives us.
Yeah, and I appreciate NPR also, and but I do see its limitations. And I want to thank you so much for being my guest today and sending love to you and your wife. Very, very happy to talk with you, Jack Coenjapa. Thank you.
Good talk to you, Chris, and please support your local community radio up there in Chico.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
895-0131, and we have two wonderful women out there, and I want to promote their event, too. So Alyssa and Aitha are out there for Catalyst and Catalyst Domestic Violence Services, and they're having a fundraiser on the 15th, this Saturday, at Secret Trail Brewing Company from 7 to 9 p.m. And this is for a safe haven showcase, and there's going to be lots of great musicians there. So I hope that you'll show up and support 7 to 9 Secret Trail Catalyst. They've been doing the work in Chico for quite a long time, and they're an incredible group of people trying to keep people safe who are in abusive relationships. And also, as you heard, if you were listening earlier, preventing domestic violence. I have Steve Scarborough here. Wait a minute. What mic are we to?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Chris, I wanted to thank a couple of folks who just called in and pledged on your show.
Thank you.
Jean Andrews, and she said she loves the work that you do. Thank you for all that you do, is what she...
And a shout-out to WORD, Women on Reproductive mm-hmm. Defense, and Jean, thank you.
And Bob Spear.
Bob Spear, thank you.
Yes, so that's... the first two pledges on the board, this is just the mothership of of local news and public affairs programming, and has been for years. So,
I just have a quick question. Bob Spear, who built the studio we are sitting in, that one?
That Bob Spear.
Thank you for this studio. It's the one thing we're not going to replace in here.
Exactly.
You have our word.
And if the other Bob Spear is listening, we'll take your pledge too, Bob. So let's have a pair of Bobs here.
Yeah, let's get it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. And the team captain today does jazz. What? Tell me real quick.
It's just jazz.
It's just jazz. When? What time?
Monday 2:30.
So that you've heard his voice a lot of times, but just so you can place him. All right, we're coming up on the top of the hour, and really important to thank underwriters always, because they are really part of the backbone of KZFR. And I want to thank Patrick Riley, a real estate professional with Century 21 Select, specializing in properties in Chico and Butte Meadows. Patrick is dedicated to helping buyers and sellers achieve their real estate goals with kind, quality service. Patrick can be reached at 588-6593 and on Facebook, and by Kyle Porter of Paradise Audio Services, providing PA system rentals and audio engineering in Butte County since 1995. Services include concerts, parties, weddings, reunions, and meetings. Kyle also offers mobile digital live recording on location. Paradise Audio Services can be reached at 519-2202 or at paradiseaudioservices.com. I just want to say it's straight up noon. So this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters. I just want to real quickly thank a couple more underwriters so we can move on with another interview. This program, Peace and Justice, was made possible by all of you wonderful people out there, and by the 24th Annual Women's Conference, hosted by the Gender and Sexuality Equity Coalition, celebrating a 50-year legacy of student-run activism. There's no charge to attend the conference, featuring workshops, networking, and speakers on Friday, October 21st, and Saturday the 22nd at the BMU on the CSU Chico campus. There is also an alumni gala on Friday night at the Chico Women's Club. Details, registration, and gala tickets are at GSEC 50th Anniversary .weebly.com, and by the Bankruptcy Law Office of Michael O. Hayes, a proud supporter of community radio. Michael O. Hayes offers complimentary consultations and payment plans for Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Find out more at 530-892-8916 or visit chicobk.com. Okay, so back to our Bella Chows, a little late, but these are Ukrainian soldiers singing Bella Chow in a trench.
Колони танків і зарядів старий Дніпро. Ніхто не думав, ніхто не бачив, яка насправді була українська людька. Ті проклятих безжально мочим, тих, що на нашу землю пруть. Катів проклятих, безжально мочим, тих, що на нашу землю пруть. А на кордоні найкращі хлопці, самі герої воюють. У наших ЗСУ і джавеліни, і барактари за Україну б'ють русню. І джавеліни, і барактари за Україну б'ють русню.
All right, and so this is the Peace and Justice Program, and it's my honor to do this show, and I do it with love because I get to meet all these wonderful people. I get to engage with them. We're going to now go a little more local. We have a really important person on the line. Her name is Grace Marvin, and she has done a great job as a Sierra Club chair locally and also with Smart Growth, Chico Smart Growth Advocates. And just a minute here. Sorry, Grace. I have to get my brain unscrambled. So Grace has been able to put her activism passions to work after her retirement. She taught sociology in Virginia, South Carolina, Tennessee, and luckily she came to CSUC while trying to learn about and explain social problems to students. At Chico State, she especially enjoyed working with the faculty union, but she's even happier as retiree representative to the California Faculty Association. Now Grace has more time to work on social and environmental issues. She's also active with the Sierra Club, Smart Growth Advocates, and furthering local political change. I want to just give you the website for smartgrowthchico.org, because we're going to talk about Valley's Edge, which is a development that requires annexing 1,448 acres of Butte County's land southeast of Chico. This development has nearly 2,800 planned housing units with no mention of affordable housing in their draft EIR report. And the water for the possible 6,000 or 7,000 residents of Valley's Edge will be drawn from Cal Water's wells, which are already tapping out the lower Tuscan aquifer that has already been determined to be in overdraft. Welcome, Grace Marvin. Hi.
Hi there. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. You know, I always have this urgency about issues in Chico that are just so dire. And from what I said about Valley's Edge, can you also tell us how many trees they would cut down? What other concerns do you have?
I don't know the exact number of trees. There's a 267-page report that anybody can go to. It's on the Chico City webpage, and that has recent updates included, including which trees will be cut down. And I'm concerned about they're cutting down blue oak trees and destroying wetlands, but also other endangered species, for example, meadow foam and burrowing owls. So, there are a lot of other fears that I think Chicoans would have with this project. There are some supposedly affordable homes that would be built, but there are only like something like 450 of them, and that's out of 2,777 units, and I don't know to what extent that would be required. This is the largest sprawl project ever proposed for Chico, and not only is it environmentally destructive for that immediate land, it also poses increased fire risks to the rest of Chico. One of the candidates running for District 6 office has said in particular, Jessica Gianola, that she is afraid living over there because that land where it is located, it has been a buffer zone to preventing a wildfire spread. In fact, the campfire and two other fires touched the land. Maybe I should mention where it is. If you take 20th Street past Bruce Road to Potter Road, on the right you'll see the Steve Harrison Memorial Bike Route. Valley's Edge will extend over 1,460 acres down to the Skyway and Honey Run Road and up to Stilson Canyon to the north. So what is this going to mean and increase fire risks?
What about the traffic? This sounds terrible.
Yeah, well, not only are the increased fire risks, there's also increased gas pollution with thousands of car trips every day. And, of course, many of us dread the increased traffic congestion. And people who live on 20th Street are already facing an inordinate amount of traffic, and that would be a major thoroughfare as well as on the Skyway. So it is going totally against any kind of idea that we need to reduce CO2 emissions. And moreover, open space is planned on that beautiful, really beautiful land. You should go there. Most of it will be functionally gated, since that land will mostly be open only to members of the Homeowners Association. So it's a scary project. We need to fight it. Instead, we need smart growth that includes many hundreds of affordable homes. These can be built in downtown Chico to replace warehouses, empty stores, and other businesses like Kmart. We need to construct up and not out in mixed-use buildings. We also need to include an emphasis on easily accessible shuttle buses, safe bikeways, and walking paths in tree-lined streets, and not a massive urban sprawl project.
So, Grace Marvin, I appreciate everything you've said, and I was wondering, with the current council, we have only seen support for developments that support the wealthy. Do you see affordable housing with a different council? Who would you recommend?
Definitely. The four Progressive City Council members, Addison, Winslow, Jessica Gianola, Morgan Kennedy, and
Monica? Right. Are you thinking of Monica? Go ahead.
All four of them are strongly for affordable housing and smart growth and against Valley's Edge. So it is essential that we get them into office. Not only for fighting Valley's Edge, but also in bringing so much more of the virtues of smart growth and caring for the homeless and other needy people in our community.
That's right. So, Grace Marvin, I know the EIR is done, and you are trying to do a lawsuit, I believe. How can people learn more and hopefully contribute to what you're trying to do?
Well, I'll let you know that I'm conservation chair of the local Sierra Club, and in that capacity, we were able to get the Motherlode chapter to contribute money, significant amount of money, toward a potential lawsuit. But we need to make additional funds to cover additional legal costs. And so one of the best ways you can donate money is you can go to that website for Smart Growth Advocates that Chris mentioned, and you will see a donate section, and you can just click on that and donate online. You can also mail me a check made out to the Sierra Club Foundation. Be sure it says foundation. And mail it to me, and I will forward it. My address is 1621 North Cherry Street, Chico.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Grace Marvin, we're going to run out of time here in a minute, and I'm asking all of my guests this same question. Why do you support community radio? Why do you think your ability to get on a program like this and say what you just said is important?
Wow. For me, it's just so obvious that we need to have people who are able to address the issues that you don't hear in mainstream radio and which you wouldn't hear on other local radio stations. Issues that where we are caring about the homeless, the poor, our bad roads, our bad streets, our need to address a variety of social problems. This is the way to go. KZFR. Thank you.
Well, thank you, too, and I really appreciate everything you're doing. We have another minute. Is there anything else that you want to say? You and your husband have been real strong advocates for the unhoused, and you know the problems deeply as somebody who's provided service and care. Do you have any last words?
Yeah, my last words, my husband is retired, and I think he was climbing the walls a little bit, and he found CHAT, Chico Housing Action Program, and he's doing magnificent work, and they can always use many more volunteers if you want to do volunteer work to help housing for the homeless. The Sierra Club is also providing the dumpsters for the local homeless, and so that's another route to go, is to do things with the Sierra Club or make donations to us for that. Well, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Grace Marvin, for everything that you're doing, and I don't know if people understand that this project, if it goes through, will totally change our city forever. We will no longer have Chico be as sweet as it used to be. I mean, it would be very, very difficult to live here. So anyway, thank you, Grace. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Chris.
All right.
Bye-bye. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Okay, I'm going to make an announcement that we are in Pledge Drive, and we need your support. 895-0131. Catalyst volunteers are out there. They're waiting for your call, and they are incredible women. I'm just so honored to have them. And thank you, Jasper, for contributing to the Peace and Justice Program. Jasper is part of the Chico Peace Alliance, and he's on the education working group, and this is a wonderful opportunity to just plug the Chico Peace Alliance, and you can get that newsletter just by letting them know that you're interested. Chico Peace Alliance at yahoo.net, or however it goes. And so I'm going to say one other thing for Pledge Drive. I have done a lot of author interviews over these last couple of years, and I have a stack of books here for $100 pledge, and I'll just name off some of the people I've interviewed who are just absolutely incredible. A lot of them are academics, but some of them have had these really rich personal experiences, like Tell Them What You Want by Levine Merritt Gordon, about her growing up as a black woman in in a situation of domestic violence. Corrections in Inc., Carrie Blakinger, about her situation with having a heroin addiction and spending a bunch of time in jail and then turning herself around to become an incredible Marshall Project writer. People who have been in the movement forever. Ellen Bravo, a book called Standing Up. A woman named Falguni Sheth, who wrote a book called Unruly Women, Race, Neocolonialism, and the Hijab, defending women's rights to cover themselves if they wish in accord with their faith. And then about Qatar, which is hosting the FIFA in November, Does Skill Make Us Human, about world capitalism's use of migrant labor and misuse of them, and Hurwitz, Are We the 99%? So you can find all those old interviews back in the archives here at kzfr.org. If you go to the program, the date, and then you can scroll through and see interviews that my co-host, Robert Jones, who just contributed, thank you, Robert, and also Corey Hemp Hunt, who is also my co-host. Their programs have been incredible. I think you might just want to put that on your rainy day if we ever get any list of things to do. So anyway, I'm way overdue. I'm sorry that took so long, but I do want to get my next guest on the line. This is the Persian version, and this is what I think is so important right now, what's happening in Iran. So this is what got me into the Bella Ciao mode. Here we go.
خاک این گندم تو خیابونه خوشه یه خشم من و تو تشنه یه بارونه حق ما کم نیست زانوی غم نیست قلب ما که دور از هم نیست دنیای تازه
Did that end? I'm sorry. This is Chris. It's the Peace and Justice Program. We're with you every Friday from 11:30 to 1. We're in Pledge Drive. You can call us at 895-0131, and women from Catalyst will be so happy to take your pledge, and I will be too. I have on the line with me Shireen Amini, non-binary person using she, her pronouns, is a Portland-based queer Puerto Rican Iranian earth-loving artist, activist, singer, songwriter, community song leader, percussionist, and teaching artist. As a performer, she's had the honor of opening for Sheila E. and Colin Hay, and with her Latin band Chiringa, Ozomatli, and the Gypsy Kings in San Francisco. Shireen has also come to believe strongly in music as a tool for personal and collective transformation. She's deeply committed to her own liberation path and vision of a more just world, which she hopes to usher forward with fire, heart, and joy through her music. We are blessed to have Shireen Amini coming to Chico this coming Wednesday. Welcome, Shireen Amini. Hi.
Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and unfortunately, my timing is so bad. I want to be able to cram a bunch of information in from you about what you're going to be doing in Chico, and also the background of this incredible work that you're doing on this tour.
So should I do just launch in and say whatever I can?
Yes, please.
Okay, beautiful. So as you heard in my bio, thank you. I am descended from a Puerto Rican and an Iranian. And with the recent events happening in both places, I have been overwhelmed with grief and also with a sense of enoughness. There's been challenges in both places that have led to, for example, the disaster relief challenges in Puerto Rico and also in Iran, the uprising against the regime that is oppressive and brutal, especially towards women who are treated as second-class citizens. So I was already planning on touring down through California, and I was channeling through a song that was called Hold Me Well, and it helped me weave in the theme for this tour, which is to hold us well, because it's important to me that when I bring people together to do work that is joyful and transformative, that it's not just about supporting the people out there. It's about doing the work deeply from the inside, and learning the ways in which we can hold ourselves well, because that helps inform how we hold a level of respect and care for others. So I am going going down I-5 and then veering off, and I'm going to be landing in Chico for the first time ever. I've never been to Chico, even though I was raised in the Bay Area. And I'm going to be leading a community thing, which is one of the things that I do among others, teaching drumming and performing. But song leading is much more about all of us joining voices. And I bring forward songs that are short, simple, easy to learn on the spot that we sing together, which is a chance to connect again with the deep intention, whatever you're holding for your own well-being and the well-being of others. And we usually have a lot of fun doing it too. We fumble, we have ecstatic moments, we move, we grieve. It's just an opportunity to build community, and I'm really excited to get to do that in Chico for the first time.
I'm excited to have you. I'm really grateful. And I know that this event has some tickets related to it. How do we end up there?
Yes, the easiest way is to just go to my website, which is shireenamini.com. Is that something I should spell out for people, or is there a way that people can?
Yeah, I think it does take a little spelling, but it's pretty much how it sounds. It's just Shireen has two E's, Amini.
That's right.
Yeah, shireenaminimusic.com. Okay,
sorry, not with the music. ShireenAmini.com.
Not the website. Okay, the artist website.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. On the website has the links to the tickets. It's also on Eventbrite, so you could just search Hold Us Well, Community Sing with Shireen Amini, or any of those pieces, and I imagine it would show up.
Yeah, and so what time and where?
Yeah, so we're gathering at 6, and there's a window of arrival from 6 to 6:30, and we're singing from 6:30 to 8, and this is at Happy Corner.
Okay.
I believe it's Happy Corner and Friends. My good friend Teresa here is who lives in Chico is the one who has facilitated this. So I've never been, but I from what I see, it's a really sweet little community hub.
Yeah, it is, and I'm racking my brain with the directions right now. But it's in Chapman, and I can post it later on the KZFR page. At any rate,
sure.
people can. This is an event. There is an event on Facebook. This is another way you can find it, and it'd be wonderful to have many of us there because these have been hard times. Mm-hmm. Not just internationally, but for all of us. You know, we're in a struggle here in our community with the elections and with the climate disaster and et cetera,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. Same things that everybody is, I think. But
And it'd be so good to be together and do some healing work. I wanted to ask you about, I know this is a partial benefit. Can you tell us about the organizations you're hoping to support, Shireen?
Yes, definitely. So for Puerto Rico, I did some research and found a fund that has been created by multiple organizations that are doing grassroots work to support communities in not only recovery from yet another devastating hurricane, but also building stronger infrastructure and more resilience. And this fund is called Fiona Community Response Fund. And why I love supporting this one again is because it's kind of like a coming together of many organizations who are more deeply connected to the communities, and they're doing direct relief work and rebuilding work. The other organization is Amnesty Iran. As you can imagine, because the government has so much control, there's so much censorship, there's the U.S. sanctions, it's really hard to directly support Iran right now with funding. And Amnesty Iran is a human rights, well, Amnesty is a human rights organization, and they have a fund right now to address the immediate violence that's happening in response to protesting. I read somewhere yesterday there's at least 185 people already killed just for protesting. Mm-hmm. This is a human rights violation, and this is an international concern, I believe, and I wish for our global community to recognize that the role that is being called, because the people themselves are struggling against their own government. So those are the two funds that I will be. And because it's how do I help one or the other? They're so both close to home. So it was a choice I made that I'm going to support both, and we'll split the funds evenly between the two.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
And the rallying cry there is woman, life, freedom, which I think we can all agree on, I hope.
It's not just fight for Iranian women. It's a fight for the less privileged gender who have suffered under patriarchal systems for centuries. So it's not just a fight for them. And that's why I hope people feel the importance of this.
Shireen Amini, my next guest hasn't shown up yet. So can you talk a little bit about the struggle that you're talking about? Because I think that we could deepen this just a little bit before we have to shift. Yeah. And I appreciate the fact that you are the intersection of the intersections. And maybe you can talk from where you're at.
Of course. Yeah, and that's the only place I can speak from. Being someone of the diaspora who hasn't actually lived in Iran, I was born in Puerto Rico and have been back many times. But I will speak, I think, specifically to what I know about what's happening in Iran. For those who aren't aware, for the last four decades, Iran has been under a religious dictatorship. And under that religious dictatorship, women have been designated to second-class citizens in that they are held to standards that men are not. They are treated punitively for things that men are not, and for things that one usually naturally should be able to do so freely. So one of the things being the mandatory wearing of the hijab, covering hair, which has relaxed, I've heard, over some of the years, but more recently with Mahsa Amini, was a 22-year-old young woman who was taken by the morality police and to do this thing that, quote, euphemistically, re-education, because she wasn't properly wearing her hijab. Mm-hmm. Soon after, she was in the hospital in a coma, and the government is blatantly lying and saying she had a heart condition, and it's apparent that she was beaten, and she was beaten essentially to death because she died in the hospital. This is what it was, essentially like the George Floyd moment for Iranian women, and with knowing how merciless and the government has been to be dancing in the streets and burning hijabs in solidarity, in that feeling of enoughness, in rebellion, is nothing like short of extreme bravery.
Nice.
And these women are, are sending a message out to the world too. Especially, this is not the only country that still has some oppressive conditions for women. And so, this is what sparked uprising. It has youth, especially Iranian youth, are fighting for a different future that they want to be living in. The regime really only caters to about 10% of the population that is, you know, aligned somehow with extreme Islamic beliefs and practices, which should not be representative of Islam in general.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the last things I'll say, which I think is one of the most powerful things, is that a song was born out of this. A young man named Shervin Hajipour wrote a song called Baraye. And this song, he, again, bravely posted online, which was taking tweets from many Iranians who were speaking why they were protesting, and he turned it into a song, which has then become an anthem people have been singing in the street. I went to a rally locally recently, and they were playing this song, and people were singing it.
Cool.
The young artist was arrested by the government and then released on bail, and then had to make a forced public apology on Instagram, which people, you just can tell it's not his own words.
Well, let me stop you there.
The power of music.
We got to show up at this concert and hear more about the power of music. Shireen Amini, I just want to have one more question, and I know this is a pivot because I have to. It's Pledge Drive. Why do you support community radio?
Oh, I love community radio because its motives are to care, serve, and uplift the voices and the music of community. It's not commercially driven, and it keeps us connected to independent artists and the happenings of the important happenings of the community. Mm. So,
I really, really appreciate you, and I can't wait to meet you. And I want to thank you for coming to Chico, making us part of your tour. Thank you so much. I hope you're going to enjoy your time here. All right, peace.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
All right, peace to you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so I wish I had that song. I didn't know about that song. So the wonderful women from Catalyst are here. They're ready to take your pledge. 895-0131, or go online and go to the donate tab. We would really appreciate it. You know, much has been said about Russia in these last months, and I'm just going to give them equal time here. You can tell the difference in their version of Bella Ciao, but it is still Bella Ciao. And a lot of soldiers now are not going to serve. And it's a beautiful thing when people stand up for their beliefs and don't go to war unless they have to. Everyone longs for peace, and justice. And I have in the studio with me someone who stands also for justice for animals and has done. I went to your page and I looked at all the work that you have done in order to stand up for non-human animals. And I have in the studio with me Robert Jones. He is my co-host, one of my co-hosts with Corey Himpunt. And Robert is an amazing person, and I have these lovely words to say about him, which have gone away from me. And since I have no memory to speak of, Robert Jones is an associate professor of philosophy at the California State University, Chico. Robert joined the Peace and Social Justice Program in 2016 with an emphasis on the rights of the unhoused and the rights of non-human animals. He is also the host of String Theory, a program dedicated to virtuosic guitar music. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
Wait a minute. I don't know if that mic is working, or at least you're not coming through my headphones.
Check. How about
there,
this?
Yeah, that one's better. That's because me. It's my fault. Okay.
Hey, Chris, thanks for that introduction. I appreciate it.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's been wonderful to be a part of the station and to be a part of this program's Peace and Social Justice. It's an honor because this program has such a wonderful history. And I remember, Chris, the first time that you and I talked about me, you know, moving into the rotation. And I think we met at the Tin Roof, I think it was, which is now RIP Tin Roof. But I remember you had a big pad and you told me all the things, and I thought, wow, I'll never be able to remember all this. And then here I am years later, still struggling, but I'm doing the best I can. But thanks for inviting me to join the Peace and Justice program.
Well, you have really helped to bring depth to the program. I tend to be a bit of a bouncer or a rounder, but you dig in deep, and I appreciate that about you very much. I love how your brain works, and listening to how you articulate things. And you know, I wanted to address some homeless issues.
Yes.
Recently, a young man who was a teen was exonerated for killing an unarmed homeless person at Tiger Ponds. The teen was armed. And came to a place where the homeless man was sitting in the middle of the night outside of his tent, just quietly speaking to another person, and the teen shot him. And now the charges are not going to go forward. And so I think the homeless union, the Chico Homeless Union, among all the other things, like the sweep that's coming up at Windchime, also known as Humboldt Park, that's coming up with still really unresolved places for people to go after that sweep, and there's 90 souls living there.
Right.
I'd just like for you to address that, because I'm just burning with rage and concern.
No, Chris, it's outrageous, and I think people should feel moral outrage. And I haven't heard the details. Do you know anything about the details of what the purported reasons for dismissing the charges against is it because he's a minor or something?
He's a minor, but he also was, according to the defense attorney, he was afraid.
He was afraid
of the homeless people.
Oh, okay.
He thought somebody else would have a gun or something.
Okay. Yeah, this is a classic one of these tired myths that homeless people are dangerous, or should I say any more dangerous than non-homeless people. When in fact, the fact of the matter is that if you are homeless, you have a significant increased risk of being the victim of violent crime.
Right.
Being homeless is a dangerous, you know, it's a dangerous endeavor. So this is outrageous that they would dismiss the charges that, my understanding when it originally happened, that there was a malintent. The shooter was intending to harm this poor individual. So there is something that we should announce to the to our listeners, and this is from the Chico Homeless Union. They're having their first ever reading of the names event to raise awareness about the ever-growing issue of homelessness and the housing crisis here in Chico, in Butte, and overall in California. You know, Chris, I've been spending time in Southern California and coming back, and there was a recent homeless activist event there, And, you know, in Los Angeles, between 70 and 80,000 people per night are on the streets. 70 or 80,000, that's more than you can fit into Dodger Stadium. And here in Butte County, the numbers are about 2,000. So we have a crisis. We have a housing crisis. And on top of that, we have issues of safety for people who are living on the streets. So today, it is at 1:30. There is the Homeless Union is having a reading of the names event. 1:30. It's a town hall at Winchester.
No. That's something else.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go down.
Oh, the rally. Okay. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. No, and here it's Steps of the Chico. Wrong thing. We'll be on the steps of the Chico City Hall October 18th at 6 p.m. Okay, so October the 18th. When is that?
That is before the city council meeting,
right
at the
beginning.
Right before
the city council. So that's on Tuesdays.
Right.
So 6 p.m. Here's what I want listeners to do, to come out and support those most demonized, those most impoverished in this city. There's a long history of the demonization and criminalization of the poor, not only here in Chico, but in the history of, you know, in Europe and the United States. I want you to show up here. That is on Tuesday. It's on at City Hall, the steps of City Hall at 6 p.m. on October the 18th, to read off the names of all the homeless and or unhoused individuals that have died while or living on the streets in Chico. And just to read this quickly, Chris, what it says, there's a little sort of list, kind of a little bit of a mission. It says the Chico Homeless Union is here to demand justice for the following. And they list names: Don Durans, Guy Steven Van Sant, Desmond Phillips, Stephen Vest, Brianna Sharp. These are homeless and unhoused deaths or murders the police have ignored, as well as officer-involved slayings that never saw real justice. So the Chico Homeless Union is demanding justice, and I urge you to support their cause October the 18th at 6 p.m. on the steps of the city council before the meeting. And I also urge you, if you have it in your heart, to support this program today. This is the last day of the pledge drive, right?
Yes, it is.
And I'm looking at the board. We have a goal of $800 for the day, and we're getting close. We're at $650. We just need $150 more to meet our goal of $800. If you're listening to this program, if you're a regular listener, many times if you're like me, you tune into a nonprofit or a community radio program, you enjoy the programming, and you think, oh yeah, when I get home, I'll take care of this, or I'll do it the next time, and I'll donate. Now's the time to do it. The station needs capital improvements. We need to bring this program, which has been on the air for, 28 years now?
Since 92.
So 30 years. That's amazing. Chris, you must have been only 10 when you started the show.
That's right.
So anyway, give us a call at 530-895-0131, 895-0131, to donate to the pledge drive here. We need $150 more to make our goal of $800.
Thanks, Robert Jones. I really appreciate you. And I was wondering what you have coming up for the Peace and Justice program for your next show. Have you gotten that far?
Well, I know I have a couple of people I'm waiting to get back to me, but I do have, I'll tell you what the issues, I'm going to address the homeless issue here in Chico.
Good.
And I'm going to also address some of the candidates who are running for the city council, and some of the kind of, I don't want to name people my name, but there have been some rather ugly events with regard to their treatment of the homeless, their public treatment and social media treatment and calling out of the homeless. So I'm basically going to be focusing on the homeless issue in Chico from different angles. But I want people to support the program. Call 895-0131. And also, Chris, I wanted to point out that I want to encourage everyone who's listening to vote, register to vote, come out and vote. The city council election is very important. It's a crucial election this November, especially with the midterms. For all we know, democracy could be disappearing. So please be active. Please come out and vote. And please go to your phones right now. If you don't want to go to your phone, you can go to, what do we got here? You can text Pledge KZFR to 44321. You can Venmo at KZFR901. You can go online if you go to KZFR.org. please help us get over our goal. We're $150 shy of our goal. We have just a few minutes left in the program, so give us a call, 895-0131. Show your love and support for Chris Nelson, who's been doing this program for a long time.
Yeah, and I didn't do it straight through, but my next guest did it for, Laurel Avalon did it for 20 years, and so she's our next guest. And Robert,
Laurel,
if you want to stay here, I'm going to put on one last version of Bella Ciao, and this is an Italian street. It's called Street Crazy Acoustic, and so this man is playing Bella Ciao on the streets in Italy. And you know, after a fascist party now has been voted in into Italy, we see the seriousness of nationalism around the this right wing takeover around the world, and so it's very important that we look at the issues of freedom and I don't know. You keep talking, I'll get it.
the issues of freedom and democracy, and this kind of authoritarianism is gaining hold all over the world. So, listeners to the Peace and Social Justice Program, get out there and vote, and also give us a call, 895-0131.
Okay, here, Bella Ciao. That's your pepper upper. That's your coffee. And again, this is the Peace and Justice Program, and we are grateful to be with you, and we want to urge you to stay tuned for Playing Dead and stay with us this afternoon. Give during your favorite Friday afternoon shows, too, if you haven't already. I believe I have Laurel Yorks on the phone with me, a.k.a. Laurel Avalon. She's a former co-host of Peace and Justice Program for 20 years. She's now working with several others in our community to build a new peace movement in Chico called the Chico Peace Alliance, and you can find out more at ChicoPeaceAlliance.net. Hi, Laurel.
Hi. Wow, what a show.
I know.
I've been listening. I think I'm number six. I don't think when I was doing the show for 20 years, I don't think I ever had six guests, separate guests on one show. That's amazing, Chris. You've done a great job.
I know. It's totally insane, but I really wanted to make our pledge drive work for a lot of different people. A lot of different people, like some people are interested in one topic, not in another, and so I was trying to find that flexibility so that everybody would get something that they would appreciate hearing about, because peace and justice is a huge issue. And Robert's here with me. And
hi, Laurel.
And
hi.
Before we talk, can I just make an announcement, Laurel, because I have not, it's been so busy during the show, I haven't been able to say that there's going to be a demonstration today at 4 o'clock, and the point of it, it's an informational picket, be held all over the country, 40 different cities, and it's to defuse nuclear war. This is the 40th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and the 60th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis. I'm sorry, I apologize. Anyway, on the 16th, and we are closer to nuclear war than ever, even we were at that time. So we're just
wanting our representative LaMalfa to support the treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons and to stand down with any kind of first use of nuclear weapons, to start rejoining nuclear arms control and reduction treaties and get the U.S. off of a hair trigger alert and put the money back into human needs, which we've been talking a little bit about. So, Laurel, I know you're aware of this because of the Chico Peace Alliance. Anything you want to add to that?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I don't think you said where it is, Chris, so you need to let folks know where they can go if they want to join us.
See, that's why I love you so much. So, Independence Circle and Esplanade today from 4 to 5:30. And our topic today, in the very short time that we have, is going to be the ballot. One of my theories is that the reason a lot of people don't vote is that they get it, they look at it, and they go, I have no idea who some of these races are. And they set it aside, and then they lose it. And they just don't ever pick it up again. So we were going to, I was hoping that you could give us a little advice about some of the initiatives, if you want to, or where to go. I mean, even if you want to just...
Yeah, this is going to be really quick.
Go for it.
What I would like to encourage folks is that it's really a very simple ballot. I'm going to give you some of the background of some of these things where you think you have the whole thing down, you know who you're going to vote for, and then you get to, like, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of California. Ah, I don't know anything about them. I don't know anything about the Associate Justice, blah, blah, blah. No, these are people that that we don't, you know, have any kind of pre-information on that we can vote for them. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that and about the ballot, because the first part of the ballot is going to be the state offices. If you've got your ballot, you might want to get it out if you'd like to get some information on some of the questions you might have.
And a pencil.
You know, and basically, this is not a primary. This is a midterm election, so it's going to be a Republican and a Democrat on the ballot for governor, for lieutenant governor, for secretary of state, for controller, treasurer, attorney general, even insurance commissioner, actually, because they are listed there. Their parties are listed there, so it's Republican and Democrat. And also the State Board of Equalization. So really the choice there is Republican or Democrat. I don't think you have a choice. I think, in my own personal opinion, there is no choice. You have to go, you know, with the party that that is not, you know, supporting insurrections, is not supporting, you know, lies about the election fraud. I mean, you know, there's no choice as far as I'm concerned. So that's kind of the easy part. Then you get to the senator, and that also is, and the congressional representative, Doug LaMalfa versus Max Steiner, also Republican versus Democrat. And then the state assembly, you've got Gallagher and David Zink, who is the Democratic candidate for that, for the state assembly. Then you get to what I was talking about before, you get to the Chief Justice of California. Shall the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, Patricia Guerrero, be elected to the office of the term provided by law? I just wanted to tell you that when I was researching these Associate Justices of the California Supreme Court and also the Associate Justices of the District 3 Court of Appeals, I was absolutely floored by how diverse this group is. For instance, the person here, Patricia Guerrero, who is on this ballot for Chief Justice, is the first Latina to be on the ballot for Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court.
That's cool.
It's just amazing. She was raised in Imperial County. Her parents were migrants from Mexico. She worked as a teenager, had to work and go to school, and she still managed to be co-valedictorian. Just totally accomplished, and I'm just, you know, really thrilled that that our Governor Gavin Newsom nominated her to be the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court. The other justices are just as wonderful. Goodwin Liu is the next person. His claim to fame is that he was that the Republicans tried to basically, and they did. They tried to
stall his nomination for Associate Justice of the California Supreme Court because he had testified against Samuel Alito for the U.S. Supreme Court. And what he said was just amazing. And it's like, you know, this is Exhibit A, why we should vote yes for Goodwin Liu. He testified against Samuel Alito's nomination to the Supreme Court. He said that Alito's record of overenthusiastic pro-law enforcement envisions an America where police may shoot and kill an unarmed boy to stop him from running away with a purse. This is what he feared, and that's what he said in 2006 or 7, and now he is on the ballot for Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, so I'm definitely a yes.
In my opinion,
all of the people on here for Associate Justice of the California Supreme Court and for the District Court of Appeals, the Third District Court of Appeals, are deserving of being on there.
So the entire list
are
yeses.
So don't let that stop you.
Well, that's what I'm wanting because we're out of time. But Robert and I are here, and I think you can say it as well as we do. Why are you supporting community radio? Why should people call? We're $50 from $1,000. Our goal of $800. So just
$50 more.
So can you bring it in, Laurel Yorks?
Yeah, absolutely. Please vote. Right. Please vote. You really are voting in a way when you're listening to KZFR. You're getting information that you need in order to form your, to represent your values, that you can use to represent your values when you vote. You can get the greatest music in the world and the most different, various, divergent kinds of music in the world. It's got something for everybody, and that's really what we need in Chico is inclusion. We need, we need to put in Morgan Kennedy. We need to put in Monica Daniel. We need to put in Addison Winslow, and we need to put in Jessica Gianola for city council. And then we can actually make that kind of contribution. There was an earlier guest who said, we have a place in history to contribute to human progress. And we have a place in history right now to contribute to the human progress of our own community here in Chico. And that's why we need to vote in the slate of folks who are for affordable housing, who are for inclusion of all, no matter whether they're housed or unhoused, no matter what, that we're all part of the community, and it's also important. And KZFR is so important because it is the community, it's the voice of the community. So please call 895-0131 and get Chris and Robert to their goal right now. So what are you, $50 short?
50.
We can do this. We can totally do this. 895-0131.
Excellent.
Just one more call.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you so much. I appreciate it and love you. Goodbye.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Laurel.
All right, so I just want to read from this list of people that have helped us today to get to our goal, starting with Gene Andrews, Bob Speer, Jasper Lurch, Robert Jones. Thank you, Robert.
Who?
Eric Arenan. I'm sorry, Eric, I messed up your name, but I really appreciate you. Aaliyah McKean, who is our volunteer coordinator. Orion Nelson, who I know very well, and her dad, Sheldon Prazer. Mike Ortalda, thank you, Mike, even if they spelled your name wrong also. I want to thank Alyssa and Itha for being here from Catalyst and supporting us through this process. And stay tuned for Playing Dead. I'm going to now, I had to really quickly thank our underwriter, and we really appreciate you all, underwriters. Quicksilver Courier Service, established in 2010, Quicksilver Courier Service has the flexibility to provide a broad range of delivery services for private individuals, as well as for legal, medical, and business professionals. Visit chicocourier.com for quality 24/7 delivery service. And Baird Roofing Company, for a hole in your roof or a whole new roof. Baird Roofing Company has been serving Butte County for more than 30 years. Whether it's an existing structure or new construction, Baird Roofing has got you covered. More information at Baird Roof. thingco.com or call him at 530-342-1631. Stay tuned for the community calendar and Playing Dead. Ray Lager's in the house. He's going to bring you a great show today.
Chris, we did it. We did it. We did it.
We did it. We did it. Thank you, listeners. Thank you all. Peace to you.
Billy's here, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. It's a party. Hang on. Hang on. Here we go.
It's time for the KZFR 90.1 FM Community Calendar with me, Mark Baker. The Community Action Agency of Butte County North State Food Bank will hold a County Food Expansion Program distribution event on Friday, October 14th for Thermalito at the Nelson Sports Complex, located at 2299 6th Street in Oroville. Food will be distributed from 10 a.m. to noon or until supplies run out. The effort is conducted at no cost to those attending. Food is made possible by funding from the state and county. Anyone attending should be in a vehicle and follow the traffic flow guides. Participants are requested to please remain in their vehicles. Boxes weighing between 12 and 17 pounds will be placed by volunteers into vehicles attending. The food boxes include healthy, shelf-stable, and perishable foods, depending on seasonal availability. On Saturday at 7 p.m. will be Suspect Gala, a very suspect fashion show presented by the local Chico Common Collective. Admission is $5. The Chico Women's Club is located at 592 East 3rd Street in Chico. And on Sunday is the Inspire Foundation Pint Night from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Lost Dutchman Tap Room. Enjoy drinks, appetizers, games, and live entertainment in this mixer and fundraiser, including a special performance from local musician and Inspire alum Webster Moore. The Inspire